We'll now consider ourselves in session for the afternoon, and we'll ask our song leader to come and lead us in singing.
Would you turn, first of all, to page 54, and let's sing together, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Page 54, we'll sing all three stanzas, please. Thank you. Be seated, please, and turn to number 32. Number 32. Now, you know, I don't remember asking you to stand on that hymn, but it was kind of an automatic thing that on the first stanza you all stood. Right down here, all of you stood without my even asking. I may have asked. Did I ask them? No. All right. I didn't. That was all right. You may have felt better, may have sung better after eating to stand. Now let's sing together number 32, "Grace Greater Than Our Sin." We'll sing the two stanzas indicated, number 32.
Oh,
And now probably the best loved hymn among Southern Baptists, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. If you need the words, it's found on page 21. I imagine most of you could sing it without looking at the words. Page 21, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Thank you for that good singing.
Thank you, Brother Sneed. Our scripture reading this afternoon will be led by Brother M.J. Lee, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Guymon, Oklahoma. Our responsive reading, Brother Lee on the responsive reading, our prayer will be led by Brother Harry Bonner. This is a change from your printed order. Pastor at Wenatchee, Washington, who is also president of the Washington, Oregon Convention. These brethren will come and lead us now.
It's a marvelous thing to be a Christian and to have the privilege that's ours of the Word of God. I noticed this afternoon good news for the secular community. The Apostle Paul had some good news for those at Athens. Page 18 of your program. Would you stand, please? As we read the word, Paul stood up in front of the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. Made the world and everything in it, is Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made by men.
Nor does he need anything that man can supply by working for him, since it is he himself who gives life and bread and
From the one man, he created all races of men and made them live over the whole earth. He himself fixed beforehand the exact times and the limits of the places where they should live.
He did this so that they would look for him on the earth, and perhaps find him as they went around for him. Yet God is actually not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and are. It is as some of your voice have also said, we too are his children.
Since we are his children, we should not suppose that God's nature is anything like an image of gold or silver or stone, shaped by the art and skill of man.
God is overlooked of times when men did not know, but how he commands all men everywhere to turn away from evil ways.
For he has fixed a day in which he will judge the whole world with justice. By means of a man he has chosen, he has given proof of this to everyone by raising that man from the dead.
Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, make us very conscious of your presence just now. And because you are here and speak to our hearts, we are humbled. We count ourselves not worthy of the least of thy blessings. And yet, Lord, it seems that we have received the most. We thank you for past and present glories, for the privileges we have had and do have to share these great hours of excitement and thrill and success with thee. We marvel, Lord, that you can use such as we are for thy name's sake. But we thank you not only for the salvation of our souls, but for the salvation of our lives and the proving of your greatness by taking such as we are and using us as thy chosen vessels. Our Father, we look at others and we look at ourselves and we become afraid. But as we look to you, we find assurance and grace, and we find strength and confidence. Lord, we pray your continued blessings upon this meeting this week. Thank you for letting us come. We pray for the thousands and the millions who have not shared this week with us. As we go back, may we carry with us the radiance of having been with thee. May we have patience and understanding as we try to lead them to a higher plane. And our Father, we pray for our own heart, for our beloved denomination, for each of our churches. We ask only for the privilege of being used by thee to glorify thy name. O God, breathe upon us a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit of God. If we lack it anywhere, give us humility of heart. Forgive us of sin, and thrill our souls by causing us again to wrap our loins with the cloth and towel of service. Help us, O God, if we are to be thought of by the world, that they shall think of us as kneeling at the feet of humanity to serve in the name of Jesus. For these things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
The next item on our agenda is miscellaneous business, and we do have some matters that are carried over, I believe, from yesterday. I shall recognize Brother Noble Cottrell of Kentucky.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to say, first of all, to my fellow messengers, that my heart is on the right side of this matter, and that my motion, I believe, is relative and valid. I made a motion that the time of the sessions of the convention be held following either the third or the fourth Sunday, four Sundays in June, to begin in 1974. Now, the reason I made this motion was because of the conflicts that I have in my church schedule, and I dearly love to attend the sessions of the Southern Baptist Convention. Last year, I was unable to attend the convention because of the graduating exercises in my hometown, where we have the policy of sharing this experience with the various churches there. It was my year, the Baptist year, to preach the baccalaureate sermon, and therefore I had to miss the Southern Baptist Convention. Also, in my family, besides this conflict, was a member that graduated from school, and of course I had to be there for that exercise. This year, in order to come, I had to leave and miss the graduation exercises of members in my church who were graduating from the School of Nursing. Then again, last year in my church schedule, on account of conflict with the meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, I could not have scheduled a vacation Bible school except for 1 week. I have the same problem this year. Now, I find myself in a worse fix than the Apostle Paul. He said he was in a strait betwixt two, and I'm in a strait betwixt three. I'd love to come to the Southern Baptist Convention. I'd like to have a standard vacation Bible school, and I like to share the graduation exercises of the members of my family and my church family. But the way things are set up now, it's just impossible. I had a speech to make about this. This is my main reason. I may be out of order, perhaps I am. The man who knows more about this, I guess, than any other Southern Baptist, Dr. Porter Ruth, suggested it, and that perhaps the proper thing to dispose of my motion would be that it be referred to the executive committee. Now, I don't know. A moment ago, I said that I was in the same predicament of Paul. I don't want to be misunderstood. When he said he was in a strait betwixt two, it was his desire to depart and be with the Lord or stay with the people at Philippi. Now, I don't mean I'd rather go to Southern Baptist Convention than to go to heaven. That is, at the proper time, I mean. I've wondered since now, I may be in trouble again. I remember Paul said when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica that he had wanted oftentimes to come to them, but Satan hindered him. It must have been. He knew he was ready, the Lord was ready, and the people were ready, but evidently the pulpit committee weren't ready. I don't know what else to say, but if I get to come back to the Southern Baptist Convention next year, I'll make the speech. I'll keep it till then. I'm going to make that motion that in order that it come before the convention next year, that my motion be referred to the executive board.
There is a motion and second. Dr. Porter Ruth.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't know for sure when he said, but Satan hindered him. I thought he had been talking to me. Actually, I'm interested in the same thing that Brother Cockrell is, and that is trying to find out when you as messengers want to have the sessions of the Southern Baptist Convention. But I am concerned about two things. One is, I don't believe that a policy on this matter ought to be decided when perhaps we do not have as large an attendance as we might have in some other sessions. And second, a survey that we made last year at Miami showed that the second week in June seemed to be the favorite week among all of the messengers to the convention. And so, in talking with Brother Cockrell, I made the suggestion that we would make a poll next year when we have a large group to find out again just when you as messengers would rather have the sessions of the Southern Baptist Convention. And then, of course, our committee, which makes this recommendation, would certainly want to keep in mind what you as the messengers want, the majority of us, in bringing any recommendation to this convention in the future. So I'm interested in what Brother Cockrell is interested in, and I think all of us want to do what, well, I'm all messed up, but anyhow, we want to do what we want to do. That's what.
I don't know to whom Brother Cottrell was referring when he was referring to Satan, but I have heard some people called denominational serpents. Now, I don't know if there's any connection there or not, but I believe that this motion probably is well taken, that this be referred to the executive committee and that they give it study and bring a report to us in the coming convention next year. You hear the motion in the second. Is there any further discussion? If not, are you ready to vote? Those in favor, please indicate it by saying aye. Any opposed by the same sign? It is so ordered and will be so done. We do have one other matter that has been requested and has come to our attention. I'm happy to recognize Brother J.T. Burdine from North Dakota, who formerly was a pastor in Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last February, I had a very unusual distinction for Southern Baptist. I moved south to get to North Dakota. I moved from the area of Fairbanks, Alaska, where for 7 years I was pastor of the University Baptist Church at college, to become superintendent of area missions for North Dakota with the Home Mission Board and the Northern Plains Baptist Convention. But that's not my reason for requesting time here this afternoon. Most of you who are here were aware of the plight in which we found ourselves in the middle of last August in the Fairbanks area when the floodwaters of the Chena River came in. And when they came in such a way that Dr. Porter Ruth had to wade out, and maybe that's the reason he was still getting over the experience a minute ago. He and some others had the same experience. I come this afternoon as the one who was then moderator of the Tanana Valley Baptist Association to express appreciation to you of the Southern Baptist Convention and to many other friends who aided us in our time of need. I would express appreciation as the one then moderator of that association and chairman of our local emergency committee to our Home Mission Board for the tremendous organizational job of help that they did, to the Brotherhood Commission for the help that they gave, to the employees of the Sunday School Board for the offering that they took in books, in money, and in many other ways, to the many churches, individuals, associations, and others, too numerous to mention, who helped us. In our own church, because of the offering of the employees of the Sunday School Board, we were able to replace the piano in our sanctuary. Those of you who were at the WMU convention the other morning saw some of the pictures of the devastation. That organ that you saw, or what was left of it, was in our church. Because of a gift from a member of the Cliff Temple Baptist Church in Dallas, there's another organ in that sanctuary today. I would be remiss if I did not mention the airlines and the tremendous gift they gave to Southern Baptists. Brother Hunke, our executive secretary, and I were at the airport one day waiting on some of the men to come in. We knew what it cost to get, say, from Atlanta to Fairbanks. We multiplied it by the number of men who were coming. Did you know that somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000 was contributed in airfares by the airlines? From Fairbanks, we thank you. As one Mississippi carpenter said, "Preacher, this is one time I got my hands on home missions." You got your hands on it, and we of Alaska thank you for it.
Thank you, sir. I think you've indicated by your reaction that you are grateful for this expression of appreciation. Another matter that needs to come to our attention will be presented by Dr. Davis Woolley.
Thank you, Mr. President. In view of the fact that the order of business does not provide for a memorial service this year as in previous years, I make a motion that the convention pause to recognize the dedicated services of those who have been taken from us during the past year, and that we acknowledge with gratitude their contribution to the cause of our Redeemer. I dare call the names of three who have served our convention: Dr. Norman W. Cox, Dr. Walter Pope Benz, Dr. Solomon F. Dowis. Further, Mr. President and messengers, we could by common consent request the Secretary to send greetings to others who have been prevented from being present here, whose ministry and services have been a blessing to this convention and its agencies. I call these names, and I'm sure there are others that could be added to this list: Dr. Sidnor L. Staley, Dr. J.B. Lawrence, Dr. A.C. Miller, Dr. James W. Merritt, Dr. John Buchanan, Dr. Gaines S. Dobbins, Dr. J. Clyde Turner, Dr. George W. Sadler. Mr. President, perhaps this can be received by common consent, but I think our records ought to show that we have interest in these who've passed away and these who have served our convention nobly in the past.
Thank you, sir. And if there is no opposition, we will accept this by common consent. A matter of business that was to have, I believe we better find out if there's other miscellaneous business. Is there anyone else who has an item of miscellaneous business at this time? Dr. Allen?
Mr. President, may I offer this motion? I move that the Secretary be authorized to make necessary changes in the proceedings as printed in the convention bulletin for correction and clarification, and that these proceedings then be published in the convention annual as the official record of the convention. Inevitably, there are minor errors, I think of no great significance, the omission of a name at one point I think of, and perhaps typographical errors in matters like this. We would want a corrected copy of the proceedings. It may be that at one or two points the intention is not clear. This should be clarified. So I make this motion and also request that anyone will feel free to call to my attention an error or a matter needing clarification.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. Is there a second? It is moved and seconded. Keep in mind that Dr. Allen is recording history, and someday we'll be referring to all that he has done and is doing, and we'll want it just as accurate as it possibly can be. You hear the motion and second. Is there any discussion? If not, if you favor this, please indicate it by saying aye. Any opposition by the same sign? It is so ordered. Thank you, sir.
Mr. President, I think the messengers of the convention would like for the telegram to be read, which was sent to Mrs. Robert Kennedy yesterday at the instruction of the convention. The messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention assembled in Houston, Texas, extend to you and your family our sincere sympathy. We lament with agony of spirit the ruthless violence that has taken another of our nation's dedicated leaders. May the God of grace comfort and sustain you, and may the God of righteousness bring forth from the travail of our present crisis a new birth of peace and goodwill and of fearless commitment to liberty and justice for all persons everywhere. This message was sent at your request, and messages were also sent to Dr. Louis D. Newton and to Dr. J.W. Storer.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. This was brought for your information and requires no action. Are there other matters of miscellaneous business now? If not, we'll proceed with the printed agenda. You'll recall that this morning there was a substitution in the place where the American Bible Society report was scheduled, and that, according to our order of business committee, has been rescheduled for this time. This, of course, will take the place of the report on state papers that was given by Dr. Hobbs this morning, so if you were not here, you'll want to keep that in mind. Dr. W.C. Fields now will bring the report of the American Bible Society.
For many years, the American Bible Society has been a most valuable ally to the work of Baptists and other Christians around the world.
You know, I don't know for sure if your giving $500,000 to the building program will help you get into heaven or not, but it's an experiment well worth trying. Now, I don't know if your giving much more to the American Bible Society is going to help you Southern Baptists get into heaven, but I think it's an experiment well worth trying. You know, if your neighbor next door wanted a Bible, needed a Bible, and asked you for a Bible, and the only way he could get that Bible was if you went out and bought it for him, you'd do it, wouldn't you? Well, your neighbor down the street in Tehran, in Tokyo, in Tanzania, in Mexico, wants a Bible. And you're the only one who can give him the good news. And this is a job worth doing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There is nothing in this report that requires the action of our convention, and so we accept it gladly and gratefully. The next item on our agenda is that of the Southern Baptist Hospitals, and there's a change from your printed program. Rather than Mr. Hardy Harrell, I will present to you Brother Charlie Blackman, who is the Assistant Executive Secretary Treasurer of Southern Baptist Hospitals, Incorporated. Brother Blackman.
Thank you, Dr. Level. You'll find the report of Southern Baptist Hospitals in the Book of Reports. There are no recommendations in it for action. I move the adoption of this report.
You hear the motion? Is there a second? It is moved and seconded that this report be adopted, and I assume you wish to speak to it.
We have an item or two we'd like to take care of. If Dr. Crabtree would come to present report from the Committee on Boards.
You'll find this on page 3 in your committee bulletin, down toward the center of the page. There is one spelling error to be corrected. It is Brother Brian Robinson of Georgia. And then Brother Robert Rowe of Florida needs to be listed as a local director, and Brother I.K. Edwards needs to be lifted up to a state director with a term expiring in 1970. Brother President, I would move that we approve these nominations.
You hear the motion? Is there a second? It is moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, if you favor the election of these, indicate it please by saying aye. Any opposed, by the same sign. It is so ordered.
I'd like to ask Dr. Ruth if he would come and present recommendations.
In keeping with the request of the Committee on Order of Business, we have two recommendations which have to do with Southern Baptist Hospital. The first is recommendation number 9 in your book of reports on page 40, which is simply an implementation of recommendation number 7, which you approved in a general way on Wednesday. This is an implementation as far as the Southern Baptist Hospital is concerned. The second is the first part of recommendation number 14, which changes a slight change in the program statement of the Southern Baptist Hospital to bring it in line with their objective. I move that these two recommendations be adopted, Mr. Chairman.
You hear the motion? Is there a second? It is moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, if you would indicate your approval of this, do so please by saying aye. Any opposed, by the same sign. It is so ordered.
We would like this afternoon to present some of the people who work at Southern Baptist Hospitals, some who direct in different ways. We'd like to present first the ex-president of our board who just lost his job when you voted on the new board members, Mr. Lamar Woodfrom from New Orleans. Mr. Woodfrom, would you stand? Mr. Louis Tadlock, who is chairman of the executive committee of the board in New Orleans. We have Mr. Ed Clarkson, assistant administrator in New Orleans. Miss Ann Ernest, who is with the School of Nursing, director of activities. Mr. George Matthews, administrator, Baptist Memorial Hospital in Jacksonville. Mrs. Betty Benfield, with the Public Relations Department in Jacksonville. Mr. Lawrence Payne, formerly the administrator in Jacksonville, now director of development and expansion. Mrs. Alice Lee from the executive office, and Miss Lee Goldsby, who is Miss Southern Baptist Hospital. We have, I don't know whether this is sheep or goats, which way you're going to say, but we have Dr. J.D. Gray, one of our board members over on this side. Dr. Gray, would you stand? I don't know how we divide these, which are sheep, which are goats. I'll let you divide them. Sheep are at the right, said. I'm very sorry that Mr. Hardy Harrell is not here this afternoon, and as I asked myself why I was here, I said first that I'm here this afternoon because Mr. Harrell isn't here. Mr. Harrell is not well, was here until this afternoon, left the early part of the afternoon, and had to leave. He would have asked, I'm sure, other administrators who are here to sit with us. I'm not sure that he has done this, and if there are other Baptist Hospital administrators here, we would ask you to stand, if you will, and directors or trustees of other Baptist hospitals, if you would stand, we would appreciate this. We're sorry we did not get word to you if Mr. Harrell did not get word, but he has not been well. Yes. Mr. Wilson. I was saving Mr. Wilson for just a minute. Mr. Raymond Wilson, and since they pointed this out, is the administrator of the Southern Baptist Hospital in New Orleans. And I wanted to say just a word about him later because this is his brother-in-law over here, Dr. Level. Mr. Wilson has been at the hospital for quite a long time and has done a very excellent job. And I would like to say, as I ask myself why I'm here, I'd like to say just a few personal things this afternoon. And I think we're at a little different time from the usual time or business as usual. I have a friend who went to a Baptist college. He went to two Baptist colleges. He is no longer a Baptist. He chose to withdraw from our denomination. I would say he has turned against the church and against denominations as such. I don't know exactly why, but I think I know why. And I'm here this afternoon as, I think, a product of a Christian denomination whose name is Southern Baptist Convention. I believe that this denomination has meant a great deal to me in many ways. I attended two Baptist colleges. I attended a Baptist seminary at Fort Worth. I feel that these have been very meaningful to me. I have seen several pastors who have had a great influence in my life. One of these, a returned foreign missionary who, at a time when I was very impressionable, took the time to go with us as young people and had a tremendous influence on us. I'm thankful for many other pastors, or a few others that I've had, who had such an influence and made it possible for me to be here. I belonged to a Baptist church in Shreveport, Louisiana, a time when money was very hard to come by. I know a man who mortgaged his home. He had saved a little money to educate his sons to be doctors. This man spent that money and then mortgaged his home and used that money. This man had a tremendous influence on everyone in our church family. I think this man has had an influence on many people and is, I think, in some part a reason for my being here. I'm thankful for having been able to be a pastor of a Baptist church and have known deacons who have been willing to disagree with me and let me disagree with them and stand for my right to say that which they did not necessarily agree with. I'm thankful for the door that opened that allowed me to work for the board of directors of Southern Baptist Hospital. I've seen these men who are here today and others like them who have given a great deal of their time from their businesses. I've seen these men in very difficult circumstances and situations having to make decisions that were very, very difficult. And they made these decisions as Christian gentlemen with an integrity that I think we all would admire. A few weeks ago, a young man about 40 years old died. This young man had been on the board of directors of Southern Baptist Hospitals for several years. One of the last words he had to say concerned the development program at the Baptist Hospital in Jacksonville. These men have committed themselves to a service that I think is very necessary today, that of a ministry of Christian healing. You see, we're in some very large development programs now. There's some tremendous developments in New Orleans, plans and work started in Jacksonville, and these will be beautiful buildings. They'll look fine, but these are nothing more than buildings and equipment, except for the men such as you see here, who are, I think, committed Christian men. They believe in the ministry of healing, and they give of their time in this way. I'd like to tell you this afternoon one story, if you don't mind, about a couple who came to me. We're getting to go, ready to go back to Australia. This young couple had come to study in one of our seminaries. They did not have much money, and John was getting about all he could together before going back to Australia. A few weeks before getting ready to go back, he came to me, for I had been an interim pastor where he was the music director. And John said, "Charles, I have a real problem, and I hate to even mention it." He said, "My wife is quite sick and possibly will need some surgery, and I just don't have the money. And I don't know exactly what to do, but I thought I could tell you about it." I said, "John, I'll do what I can, and I think there'll be no real problem." I went to Mr. Raymond Wilson, the administrator in New Orleans, and I told Raymond the story of this young man who was getting ready to go back to Australia. I went to a fine young doctor on our medical staff, who, by the way, had been a young man in my church in North Louisiana, had been an RA, had been trained in a Baptist church all his life. I said, "Roy, do you mind taking this case? I hate to ask you, because," I said, "I don't really know you now. I haven't seen you in quite a few years, but now you're here, you're a doctor, and I think you could help. But I do apologize for coming just to ask for something, because it's part of my business to ask them for money for our hospitals." He said, "Charles, I only regret one thing, that you hesitate at all to ask me. I'll be glad to do what's necessary." And he was a surgeon in the specialty that was needed. This fine Christian doctor said, "I would ask you one more thing, that if ever you have a need again, I hope you'll not hesitate to ask me." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we have in our administrators, in Mr. Payne, Mr. Matthews, Mr. Wilson, some men who have crossed to the other side of the road to be of help to their neighbor who is in need. You see, we're building these wonderful buildings, but these buildings must have these kind of men. I work with many people who, because of what they have become in Jesus Christ, have had to cross over to the other side of the road and answer the question, "Who is my neighbor?" I think that our day, that our Lord demands that we all cross over to meet human need, regardless of the cost.
Thank you, sir. I believe that there are no further recommendations in this report that would require action, so we shall simply accept it.